Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Wet Work Podcast. You're with the host, Julian Lee. Today, I'm joined by the fantastic Karen Roberts, Scott Matterer, and Kyle Mao. Don't forget about Collabpalooza coming up. 32 pieces of content every week. We're going to be repurposing lots of content. Welcome to the show, guests. Let's have a round of applause for our guests. And we're going to start off with Karen. And I'm just going to read through the categories, put the music on, of course. And once we get started, so the first category is 80s movies. Next is the Civil War, toys and games, trivia, American literature, and chemistry. What would you like, Karen?
Oh, I think I'd have to go with 80s movies.
80s movies. Let's start there. I think that's probably one I'd pick as well. And which amount would you like?
Oh, right. I don't know. 200.
200.
Play it safe.
Film featuring March and Gaynor, Garland and Mason, or Streisand and Christofferson?
Oh, my goodness. I have absolutely no clue. Nothing is coming to me.
Streisand. Streisand and Christofferson. Anyone else want to jump in?
I was born in 91.
I was afraid he was going to say that.
you were raised on Netflix, so you didn't even get the reruns.
Blockbuster, actually, not Netflix.
No, all Netflix. Right.
Yeah, not that young. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, nobody's got that one. Let's share the answer. A Star is Born.
Okay.
Okay. So continuing on, Karen.
Oh, dear.
What would you like?
Oh, sorry. Next one. I think I'm going to just try my luck at trivia.
Trivia for 100?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. In 1983, Americans used over 1.25 million gallons of this beach product. In fact...
Sunscreen.
Yes. I think that's the one. I remember this answer. I'll pay that. Well done. Karen, 100 points for Karen. All right, you're still in control. Wait, Karen. Sorry, Kyle? All right, can you still hear me, Karen?
Yes, I can.
All right,
yes, can.
What would you like?
Oh, my goodness, toys and games.
For 100?
Yeah.
Okay. Number of pockets on a pool table?
6.
Let's have a look.
Corners, 4 corners.
Is correct. Well done to Karen. Robert's still in control. Karen, what would you like?
Oh, my goodness. I'm really not good with any kind of history, and American history probably even less so. But, well, we've got to just go for it. The Civil War.
Civil War for 100?
Yeah.
Okay. Lincoln's 4 brothers-in-law all served in this army. Now, there's only 2 armies in the Civil War.
So you got a 50-50 shot.
Lincoln's 4 brothers. Which were they? So Lincoln's, I guess we look at it now as kind of goodies versus baddies. Was Lincoln a goodie or a baddie? So the baddies.
So, yes, the North.
So, okay. And what's the other name for them? They're the, are they the Yankees?
Yes, I think.
Oh, they're the Confederates.
His brothers fought on the southern side, on the Confederate side, yeah.
Oh, dear.
Okay, never mind. You did lose some points there. If you're not sure, it's always good to actually not answer.
Pass.
Because you won't go back. I should have told you that earlier. All right, over to Scott now. What would you like, Scott?
Oh, let's do chemistry for 100.
Chemistry for 100. Coal and diamonds both consist of it.
What's carbon?
Carbon is correct. Scott is off the blocks. For 100 points, what would you like?
Chemistry for 200?
Chemistry for 200. Somebody did chemistry in high school, I think.
I taught chemistry.
Oh, here we go. You're going to clean this one up. Common kitchen substance.
No, that's table salt.
I think you've got to give him a chance to answer first. Common kitchen substance chemically known as sodium chloride.
What is table salt?
Table salt is correct. Can you see the little timer there? Once that timer ends, you can jump in. Scott's got that one and still in control. Scott, the chemistry teacher, what would you like?
Keep going down chemistry.
Let's clean this one up. This chemical symbol for sulfuric acid, it completes this poem. Say farewell to the professor. He'll be with us no more, for what he thought was H2O was...
H2SO4.
H2SO4. Sulfuric acid is correct. Well done, Scott.
I know, I'm cheating. I taught it.
Two more.
Chemistry for 400.
You're going to have to catch up with Scott. Used in cars, catalytic converters, it's more expensive than gold.
What is platinum?
Platinum is probably correct. Well done, Scott.
That's why people steal catalytic converters so often.
That's why. I thought it was copper that they were getting. Well, there you go. Yeah. And last one, I guess chemistry 500 for Scott.
Chemistry for 500, and then we'll be out of luck.
You'll be in trouble after that. US and Canada produce almost entire world supply of this lightest inert gas.
What is helium?
Helium. All right, so Scott is now... You should have got more points than that. I think you're up at about 1,000.
You got full house.
Yeah.
All
right, now, what would you like, Scott? You're still in control.
Oh, now I really don't know. Let's do 80s movies for 100.
80s movies for 100. To Dustin Hoffman, this 82 film was a drag.
See, my problem is I know the movie, but I can't remember the titles of them.
I remember this one as well.
Yeah, I know the movie. I mean, I can see him in it.
You wouldn't be able to make it today.
But I can't remember the title.
Anyone
of it.
Jump in?
Oh,
it's also
Doubtfire. Mrs. Doubtfire.
That was Robin Williams.
All right, I'm going to leave it open. I'm going to give a clue. There's also a type of cake or candy bar named after it. Last name roll.
Oh, Tootsie.
All right, Tootsie is correct. Should we give it to him? All right, yeah. we'll give it to him.
I wouldn't.
All right.
But I mean.
Scott, what would you like?
American Literature for 100.
American Literature. Melville's White Whale Tale.
Moby Dick. What is Moby Dick?
Moby Dick is correct. Well done, Scott. What would you like?
The Civil War for 200.
The Civil War for 200. Though shots fired at this garrison started the war, no casualties resulted.
What is Fort Sumter? I could be wrong on that.
Fort Sumter's correct.
Oh, yep.
Well done. Whee. That was 200. Did that?
I've often been told I'm full of it. I just didn't realize it was trivia.
Yes. What would you like?
Toys and Games for 200.
Toys and Games for 200. Color that always has the opening move in chess.
What is white?
White is correct. Well done, Scott.
There's two there, so you also have a 50-50 shot. So trivia for 200.
Trivia for 200. When it was rung for Chief Justice John Marshall's funeral, it cracked.
What is the Liberty Bell?
The Liberty Bell is correct. Well done, John. Scott, sorry. All right. What would you like?
American Literature for 200.
American Literature for 200. Lincoln called it the big book that caused the big war.
What is the Bible?
What is the Bible? Let's take a look. Uncle Tom's
Cabin.
All right, Kyle, you're in the seat now. What would you like? Trivia for 300. Kingdom that Khrushchev couldn't visit in a 1959 US trip. Now, before you jump in, it's kingdom in exclamation marks. So it's kind of not really a kingdom. Oh, well done. How did you know that? you know, a bit of Ukraine trivia. Unfortunately, that's probably the only Ukraine answer. What would you like, Kyle? Trivia for 400. Dr. Seuss's egg-hatching elephant who was faithful 100%. Okay, so it's from the book Horton, here's a who. It's either Horton or who. I think. Let's take a look. Horton is correct. Horton. Well done, Kyle. What would you like, Mr. Mao? Trivia for 500. It spent the night in a discount house parking lot before heading to LA Coliseum. Now, this is an old question, I believe, and it has to do with the a big event that was held in 1984 in Los Angeles. Something that happens every 4 years, and there is something that everyone's... Mm-hmm. Let's take a look. Mr. Mao for 500. Well done. What would you like? Toys and games for 500. She's been a teenage fashion model for over 25 years. Is correct. Well done, Kyle. No more clues were needed. I was going to talk about Margot Robbie. What would you like? Toys and games for 400. Brittany and Smith makes them in 64 colors. Mm-hmm. Absolutely crushed it. Well done, Kyle. Kyle's on 1500. Scott's on 1400. Karen's on 100. But don't worry, Karen. There'll be some chances to level up. Kyle, what would you like? Toys and games for 300. Versions of this board game take place in London, Madrid, and Atlantic City. It's the game where somebody in your family gets angry and storms off.
Throws the board at you.
Yes. 6 seconds until everyone else can jump in. I think Scott's might have this one.
I think Karen has it too because she started to say it.
All right. Throw it at me.
Go for it, Karen.
Monopoly.
Let's take a look. Is correct. Well done, Karen Roberts. And very charitable, Scott.
It was very charitable. Thank you. Because I'm
good
losing badly.
It's always good to see. And Karen, you're in control. What would you like?
Oh, man. I've got to go all in. 500 80s movies.
80s movies.
Take a risk.
Went from bit part in film Little Shop of Horrors to Oscars for Best Actor and Best Support. So Little Shop of Horrors had Steve Martin, Bill Murray,
Rick Moranis,
and I think Jack Nicholson. Who would have got the Oscar for Best Actor out of that lot?
Jack Nicholson.
Let's take a look. Jack Nicholson is correct. Well done, Karen Roberts.
Very lucky guess.
900. Well, I told you would catch up, and you certainly have done that. What would you like?
We've not got much left, have we? Go for 400 80s movies.
80s movies. Walter Matthau and Tony Curtis both coached this kid's baseball team. I know this one.
I know this one too.
No chance.
Kyle,
Tony
you got
Curtis.
Any idea? Without... Yes, true. They're all long since
I've met Tony Curtis.
Have you really?
Oh, cool.
Years ago, about 30, God knows, I'm showing my age now. a long time ago, shall we say, in Ibiza.
Oh, wow. God, still living it up in Ibiza, Tony.
He was back then, about 1990, I think that was.
Wow. And Scott, let's hear your answer.
I believe it's the Bears. From the movie The Bad News Bears.
The Bad News Bears is correct. Hey. Well done, Scott.
Well, the team was actually the Bears. The movie was The Bad News Bears. So
true. You were actually more correct than the
I'll correct the question.
Correct the question. Who designed these questions?
Right. What about 80s movies for 300?
80s movies for 300. In 84, he was a destroyer. In 82, he was just a barbarian.
Who is Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Now,
oh, Conan. Okay.
I'm going to have to give that to you. Yeah, okay.
It's the actor that played it. Sorry, I was going to the actor. I didn't realize that one of the characters.
Well, you never know what they want with these questions. And so I'll take either of those. What would you like, Scott Matera?
Oh, let's do the Civil War for 300.
Civil War for 300. He was Lincoln's first choice to lead the Union Army.
Now, Lee.
Ah. Also, the name of the car in the Dukes of Hazzard, Robert E. Lee. Well done, Scott.
And then he went to the other side.
Did he really?
Yeah. Lee commanded the Confederate Army. 400 for the Civil War.
Civil War 400, state that seceded from state that seceded. So, does seceded mean switch sides?
Seceded is was left the Union. And so there was a state that left the Union and then a state split off from them. So it has to either, it has to be one of the ones where there's two states with the same name, like North like and South North Carolina. I believe it's West Virginia, though.
Let's take a look. West Virginia. Well done, Scott. You could go on the actual television show Jeopardy, I think.
Oh, yeah. Not going to do that one. How about Civil War for 500?
Civil War for 500. General nicknamed Uncle Billy, who believed in total war. Sounds like a bit of a psycho.
Oh. Yeah, he...
General. It'll be some famous general from the Civil War. And there probably would have been a statue for him, which may have been torn down.
Depending on which side he fought on, yeah. I'm not sure on this one. I'm going to pass on that one.
Anybody got an idea for a general from the Civil War? I sure as heck don't.
No chance.
I'm going to be upset if it's William, who I could. Yeah, that's not who I would have said. So I'm glad I kept my mouth shut.
Okay, so well, we're going to pop over to Kyle.
It makes sense though. Sherman marched on Atlanta and basically burned it to the ground. So it makes sense that
Atlanta,
that would be who
okay,
it is.
Okay, right. Yeah. Yeah, burning it to the ground. Kyle, what would you like? Okay, Kyle's going big to catch up. Great grandnephew of Francis Scott Key, he was the voice of the Jazz Age. Who was the voice of the Jazz Age? Would that be?
Didn't know there was one.
Yeah, was there a singer from the Jazz? Who was a singer? And if it's why is his name Francis Scott Key if he's the voice of the Jazz Age? It doesn't sound very jazzy. Let's take a look. F. Scott Fitzgerald. Oh. Now, I hit, there was a book or something about him. What was it? Is it Great
Gatsby?
Great Gatsby, that's the one. He wrote that, did he? Or
I think.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm doing that by memory, so I could be wrong, but I think so.
Okay. All right.
I don't have the Google machine pulled up, so who knows, right?
Well, I'm starting to think you do, Scott.
I don't. I really don't.
All right, Karen, let's see. There's 700 points on the board, but it's in a very hard category. You've got American Literature 300 or 400. What would you like?
Oh, well, I may as well go for the 400.
Gave Hester a Scarlet A.
So it's the author of The Scarlet Letter. That's the name of the book.
It's what's it called? The author of The Scarlet Letter.
The Scarlet Letter is the name of the book. Yeah. But it's asking for the author, I assume, based on the way the question's phrased. Who wrote it?
And a Scarlet Letter is something scandalous. What does it mean?
Well, she had an affair with a married man. Yeah. And so they branded her with an A for adulterer. Of course, they let the guy away without doing anything to him, which does not at all seem fair.
The innocent bystander back then. Yeah. Yeah, she just came on to me. All right. So the author, do you know? I think you might know this one, Scott.
I actually don't remember the name of the author off the top of my head.
No chance.
Kyle?
I remember the book. I just don't remember the name of who wrote it.
I always get this one mixed up with Lady Chatterley's Lover or something because it's kind of Nathaniel Hawthorne.
Hawthorne. Okay.
All right. Well, you're still in control. Nobody got that one, Karen. So let's have a look at the last question. Steinbeck novel about farmer Tom Joad during the Great Depression. And there's also a, oh, I think I know this one. There's a song by Bob Dylan, maybe by the same name.
Oh, no. Sorry. Totally out of my.
Well, the only reason I know this is because Rage Against the Machine did a song called. Does anyone have, want to have a guess? Scott?
No, I don't remember.
I think it's The Ghost of Tom Joad, but I could be wrong. Oh, The Grapes of Wrath.
Grapes,
no,
of Wrath.
Oh, no. All right, we're going to have a crack at the double factile, double jeopardy. We'll just do a couple of these. These are double points. And who was the last one? Everything's mixed up now. So Karen was on before. Now it's Scott's turn to pick.
Oh, okay. Let's see. Inventive Minds for 200.
Inventive Minds for 200. His cotton gin gets all the press, but he had a nail-making business even before he went to Yale.
So the inventor of the cotton gin. I should know this. The inventor of the cotton gin is what they're asking for.
Somebody's.
I can see his face, but I can't remember the name. No.
Eli Whitney. Okay, well.
Whitney's cotton gin. That makes sense.
Ah, there we go. All right, we're over to Kyle now. So I'll just quickly run through. Women in Government, TV Guide says, The Green Pages, Inventive Minds, Coats of Arms, blank, the blank. Coats of Arms for 1,000. On Singapore's coat of arms, the lion represents Singapore itself and a tiger represents its historical link to this country. Tiger. Have you been to Singapore? Well, in Singapore, you've got most people are from China. You've got people from Malaysia and you've got people from India. Let's take a look. That was 1,000 points. I did mention Malaysia. It wasn't a bum steer, was it? Okay, phew. All right. Now, Kyle, I'm going to have to take 1,000 points off. I don't want to do it. Beautiful. All right. Now, I think we're over to Karen now.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. TV Guide says go for 200.
Go for 200. Rachel and Finn decide to throw a duet competition to give Sam a better chance to win. Rachel. So, Rachel... What's Rachel from?
Is this
show?
From...
That's the only one I can think of. Is what you're about to say.
Yeah.
If I was you, I'd just go for it.
Oh, what? Friends?
Oh, Glee.
Oh, no! I've lost
right. I did give you a major bum steer there. All right. All right, because I steered you in the wrong direction, I'm going to give you another turn. And
that's fair.
TV Guide says it should be pretty easy, I reckon.
Yeah, come on.
Blank the blank's good as well, I think.
Okay, I'm going to go for it because I've got nothing to lose, really. Exactly. I've done absolutely terribly. So I may as well go for blank the blank 1,000.
You're actually coming second, Karen. But blank the blank 1,000, let's take a look. Yeah. One item in a violinist's bag of tricks is the thin glassy tone made by playing sol ponticello, Italian for this. One item in a violinist's bag of tricks is the thin glassy tone made by playing sol ponticello. Now, what is ponticello? Cello. But everything's cello in Italian, like limoncello.
Ponticello.
So it's some sort of thing to get a thin glassy tone. You know what? I might focus on glassy as being a clue. I have no idea what the answer is. I would say like a drinking glass or something. But then again, I have no idea. I honestly don't.
A sol ponticello,
It's thin, a thin glassy tone. Mm.
Made by playing No, I'm not.
Anyone,
got absolutely
anyone
no.
Got any idea on this one? Any music?
I do not.
On the bridge. See, I tell you, don't listen to my clues.
Oh.
Okay, we're going to go to Scott. We'll do Scott, then Kyle, then we'll wrap it up, I think. Scott, what would you like?
Blank the blank for 800.
800, blank the blank. To sternly demand hard work, it's also something Indiana Jones often does. To demand hard work. What do you do if your employees are asleep on the job?
Crack the whip.
Crack the whip.
Scott, yeah. Well done.
You're still alive. Scott, what would you like?
Okay, you want me to go again? I thought you we were going to go Kyle one round, three round. Okay.
You got it right.
Blank the blank 600.
Blank the blank 600. Street performers collect money by doing this literally and figuratively.
Pass the hat.
Well done.
Yay!
All right. We'll have one more. Have one more until you get it wrong.
400 blank the blank.
400 blank the blank. To be in a tight spot is to be here without a paddle. In Australia, it would be...
Up the river for Americans. So.
Yeah, do you know what we say in Australia?
I'm not sure, no.
Okay, I'm not going to say it because...
Or up the creek, I guess, if you want up the creek.
Well,
that would
up
be
the creek, but up something creek.
Okay. So, yeah, well, no, we say that here too. I just assumed wouldn't be on the show. All right.
Up the creek without a paddle is Craig.
Whee!
All right. I'm going to give Kyle one more crack and then we'll wrap it up. TV Guide 1000, I like it. Howard baffles Sheldon. It's got to be.
Got to be.
1500. Yay. Well done. Kyle has solidified second place. Scott with 4,600. Well done. And Karen on 800. Great job. I had no idea on many of those questions myself. And let's have a chat with Karen now. Let me just get rid of this. All right, Karen, you're the superstar on the mic. Tell us a little bit about what you're doing. You've got a podcast called A Coffee with Karen, and you help a lot of coaches, I guess, working out how to do podcasting and monetizing podcasting. Would that be a correct?
Sort of. It used to be called A Coffee with Karen, A Cup of Positivity with just a sprinkling of woo-woo. But the name has changed to, so it's more in sync with my business. The name of the podcast is now the Podcast Profits Unleashed podcast. But yes, this is what we do. We help people, you know, set up, design, create, launch, and grow a podcast.
And how did you get started in this? Are you based in London or?
I am. I'm based in London at the moment. I am a digital nomad now. I'm off to Mexico soon. I'm currently at my daughter's flat in London. But this started really from lockdown. You know, I put on an online summit. I was offered a show on the back of it. Then I thought, after a couple of years of having my podcast and thinking, guys, all the coaches and therapists and healers that I was interviewing, I thought, well, none of you are in competition. You're all, you know, focusing on different audiences, solving different problems. Why don't we collaborate more? And I was offered the radio station itself. So that's what I started with. But a lot of people were struggling. They weren't either getting an ROI from their podcast. They didn't really have a clear strategy. So I realized that just providing the platform wasn't enough. So now we handle all the sort of back end boring stuff and the post production stuff so that I can give coaches back their time so that they can just show up to record the show and then show up with people who are actually ready to buy their product because they've used the sort of formula.
And what is it that people get wrong about podcasting, specifically coaches, I guess?
I would say there's a few things really. They expect an ROI too quickly. And I would say, you know, 80% is showing up, committing to showing up. And also, you know, what are you, are you aiming it at a specific audience, or is the content designed in such a way that it attracts the right audience, or even creates them, really? Because some people don't know what they don't know. So if they use their podcast in a way to sort of demonstrate how they can help people, then the people listening, because they're not, you know, they're not being sold to, they're just listening in the safe space of their own home or gym or car, and they're gently being moved along until they're ready to sort of come into their world. So it's really having the right strategy in place and the infrastructure to be able to deal with everything.
Yes, and I like how you said 80% of it is showing up, and showing up for the long term. What are some of the things? The other thing I think people do is they're just not sure about the what to do as far as content. And as a result of that, they tend to sometimes, I think, maybe have a podcast that is just like a million other podcasts. What are some of the things people can do to maybe differentiate what they're doing?
Rather than when you choose a topic, choose a specific pain point for your niche, you know. And so what you're doing is you can do some teaching within the podcast, but if you sort of demonstrate how you can help people deal with that particular pain point, and you cover some of the sort of more internal objections that people have, plus the external objections that people have, which quite often is sort of time or money. And so you do it in such a way that you're attracting people rather than telling people to go and buy your stuff.
Hey, understood. And what do you see coming in the next couple of years? I mean, we had the big COVID podcast boom. And what do you think the next couple of years is going to be like?
Oh, I think it's going to continue to grow. I mean, the stats show that, you know, I think this year it's estimated about $4 billion. Podcasters are the most trusted people on the internet. Next come bloggers, and then people who do video. And I think it's important now, especially if you're a course creator, because with the rise of AI, anybody can just create a course to sell, right? It's not them. Is the AI. But the beauty with podcasting is that you get to show up as your authentic self. And so that is going to build on the know, like, and trust. And I think with the rise of AI, because everybody's using that in their social media, that I think having your own podcast where it's you, I think that's going to put you above the rest over the next few.
100% agree with that. Like you said, the AI factor has automated a lot of stuff. But sometimes people are forgetting that having that one-on-one relationship with somebody that's virtually in your ear every day is never going to be beaten in terms of, like you say, the know, like, and trust factor. Tell us about your workshop. I've got it up here, Podcast Profits Unleashed.
Unleashed. So that's the name of the podcast too. So we do a monthly workshop where we take people through our whole strategy so that they walk away with a blueprint, really. It's a four-hour live virtual event, and it's not a presentation, so I'm not reading from an AI script. I show up for who's in the room, and we go through everything through that.
Awesome. And how often do you do this, Karen?
How often? So once a month. We do them every month. Every month for newbies, for people who are looking to launch a podcast, but maybe they're a little bit overwhelmed with what's needed. You know, we go through how to start it and why you even want to, how to create content that's going to attract your ideal client, and then how to turn the listeners into leads, and then finally how to grow it and monetize it.
Awesome. And all of the, I guess, the logistical stuff, like how do I actually, you know, record and where do I upload the podcast? Do you cover all that as well?
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Awesome.
And then if at the end of the day they need help implementing it, we run implementation days, because just getting the knowledge, or, you know, just going on a workshop, just reading a book, just watching a video on what you should do, doesn't mean you do it. Yes. So we run implementation days where we actually do it. We actually set it up and you actually launch it.
Yeah, that sounds great, Karen, because, you know, a lot of the time people will buy a course or whatever, and then what? And probably 95% of people don't actually do anything with it. So you've got these implementation days where you've got that accountability and follow-up, and I imagine you would get a lot more people following through because of that.
Yeah, well, we do it. It's like there's nothing. We're getting rid of all the objections, all the overthinking. You can't procrastinate because we're actually going to launch it on that day. What I do is I host their first podcast show to put them at ease. So basically, they showcase their business as their first podcast and I interview them. We then do the post-production around it. So they're going to have their first podcast ready to publish on the implementation day. So there's no getting out of it. It's done. The thing, then you get the energy to do the thing.
That's great, Karen. You've really thought about that and come up with something that really, I think, if you are thinking of getting into podcasting and you're thinking, it's very scary. Is there a wonderful, friendly person that can help me with it? And Karen Roberts sounds like she could be that person. So I've got the link there for your workshop. When is it coming up? How many days away is it?
So the next one is 20th of Feb.
But
yes, they're every month.
Every month. All right. So if you want to get into that, and you know, stop procrastinating and get your podcast set up, it sounds like Karen's not going to let you not do it.
Nah.
Get that link in the description and have a chat with Karen. Thanks very much, Karen.
Thank you.
Wonderful. All right. Here's our man, Scott Matera, the Jeopardy superstar. And Scott, let's learn about you. So you are helping people, I guess, get out of the rat race, so to speak, and find their passion. Would that be a fair summary?
Yeah, a lot of the folks that come to me are what I would call, they want to be an entrepreneur, they've got a business idea, they've got something that they feel called to do, or they feel like is a passion project, but they feel stuck. Usually, you know, they're still in the corporate world, they're still working for somebody else. I don't have enough time, I don't have enough money, there's no way I can get this off the ground. And I do a lot with folks in that transition, or folks that have already launched, but maybe are struggling to get it off the ground.
Right, I understood. And just say we're talking about people that have not made any big steps to move into this next phase of their life. What would you say the most important thing they need to do?
A lot of times it's doing what I call a dream exercise, where it's a little bit of looking back and a little bit of looking forward. So it's sitting down with yourself and doing the internal work. As we usually blame things like, I don't have enough time, I don't have enough money, but what's really holding us back is usually our own self, or it's our own, you know, you're your problem and you're your solution. So what I have people do is go through an exercise where they sit down and they look back at what they've done in the past, and what they're looking there is for nuggets of things that they love, things that they hated, things that they were good at, things that they struggled with, things that they had problems with, things that came to them that everyone else asks them for help, but at the same time, they're sitting there going, but this is easy. Everybody knows how to do this. The reality is everybody doesn't know how to do it, but it feels like it to you because it comes natural to you. And then we look forward, where I do what I call an airport exercise, where imagine you're walking through the airport and you run into an old friend. You haven't seen him for 5 years. You've got a long layover. So do they. You sit down together at the, you know, airport restaurant, airport bar, over a drink, and they look at you, they say, hey, you know, what's been going on? You know, how's your last 5 years been? I haven't seen you for a while. And you tell them, this has been the best 5 years of my life because. Your job is to fill in what comes after because. You know, what makes the next 5 years the best year? And that combination of looking backwards and looking forwards, a lot of times bubbles up things that are your passions, are the things that you can actually turn into a product or a solution or something that solves other people's problems. And really and truly, that's all a business is something that provides a solution for a problem that others have.
And is this your four-part framework, loosely what you're talking about?
it is part of that framework. So there's a couple of different exercises that we do as that overall framework. The really high level way of looking at it is it's a really a set of sitting down and making a plan and then executing on it, reviewing on that plan or looking at what happened, and then revising, and then of course repeat, right? Do it over and over again. It's that idea of incremental improvement. This is one step in that. Usually at the beginning, we need to do some refocusing, because what's been happening is people have been implementing things, but they've just kind of been going, you know, all over the place instead of actually having a direction to go in or having a foundation to stand on. So we do a lot of foundation building as well.
Yeah. And, you know, just taking a step to getting actually a structure, you know, put in place, it just, you know, you go from that point of confusion to, okay, at least I know exactly what I've got to do. And that's where coaches like Scott and Karen, they give you that that structure, and it's the first step to really making a change. So I always tell people that coaches are very valuable to speak to. And you use a process called DISC, D-I-S-C. What is that?
So DISC is a model that was invented in the 60s. It's a way of looking at our communication style, our personality. People will call it different things. I like to think of it more as a communication style. So it's made up of four quadrants, but everybody is a blend of all four. So it's not like you're only one. A lot of times you're a blend of them. And it's basically has to do with how we communicate and how we relate to others. The reason it's important to understand is as you begin to model and understand models of communication, you first understand yourself and how you look at the world. Are you a D, which is dominant? Are you an I, which is inspirational? Are you an S, which is supporter? Are you a C, which is the cautious type? And then you also begin to recognize and understand other people and how they communicate and how they view the world. And it's the combination of those two things. It's not either one that's important. It's the putting them together that's important, because you now understand that a lot of times some of the conflicts or confusion you've had is that it's basically I speak German and you speak French. It's not we don't want to work together. It's not we don't understand each other. It's not that we're having a conflict. It's literally we're not understanding each other. And so then you can begin to learn those other languages and be able to speak them, not perfectly and not fluently and not like a native, but you can still come over to that territory and open up those lines of communication. So it's a great way of understanding communication.
It is the communication stuff is really key, and you know, it's the way to, like you say, understand the different person and their communication style. And I mean, even in your marriage and things like that.
Absolutely. With your kids.
yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've three different sort of personality styles there as well. And one of my favorite books is that How to Win Friends and Influence People, in terms of learning how to communicate with people. And you know, just so you're an employer and you've got somebody and you're trying to get them to do something, you know, the standard approach is to tell them off, and you know, you can maybe go in there and compliment them and you know, find out why they're not able to do it. And there's all sorts of techniques around that can really greatly improve your communication and just make things just go a lot smoother. And
absolutely.
What do we got here, Scott?
So actually, I have a page specific for you if you want to pull it up. If you go to, I don't know if that's easy for you to do, but if you go to inspiredstewardship.com/when it worked, that's actually the one for your listeners. Sorry, this is an older one.
Let's take a look at that. Thinking music. Dun, dun, dun.
There we go. That's it. So I've got some free resources there that where it says I want to master stewardship. Basically, if you're struggling in those areas of time, talent, and treasures, if you've got that business idea or that passion project, if you want to learn more about that, there's actually some free resources. And then a little further down, there's actually a place where you can schedule a 30-minute call for free as well. And we can talk a little bit about you know, what's going on and whether or not coaching is something that's right for you.
Wonderful. Yeah. So I'll put that link in the show notes. It's just going to have that when it worked there.
Yep.
And wonderful. Thanks very much, Scott. I've got your social media in the show notes as well. If people want to get in touch on LinkedIn or I think it was Facebook. Is that right, Scott?
Facebook. Right.
Wonderful. All right. Let's see if Kyle's still there. Oh, he's gone missing. Oh, you're there. Okay. All right. Oh, okay. All right. Well, we'll just work with that and pretend you were in a dark room. All right, Kyle. Tell us a little bit about what you're doing. You've been doing a bit of traveling. Is that right? That's very interesting. What type of engineer were you? And you've built like a it's a recruiting service for people that want to maybe go to America or Canada or Australia or something, and they're in the Ukraine and. Go on. They are based in the Ukraine, the workers, is that correct? Around that area, okay. Right, and when did you build this? Yeah, a lot of people got moving during the COVID thing, which is a good thing, and what's happened in the last couple of years with what's going on in the Ukraine? How's that affected what you're doing? It's good that you. I was going to say that you're providing opportunities. I can't imagine there'd be a lot of companies hiring too much in the Ukraine, even though you do work with other countries as well. So the business is called Hire UA, and do you want to tell us a specific story of somebody, a candidate that you have found work for? Wow, Slava came over and just kicked some butt. And she moved into the United States now, or still based in Ukraine? Wonderful, and she's the president. And tell us about some challenges that you had. I mean, this is not your first kind of. I guess it's sort of like a online business. Tell us about some of the challenges you faced setting this up from where you are. It's funny that you say matchmaker. Didn't you have a previous dating portal or something? Yeah. Was that based in the Ukraine as well? Wonderful. All right, that's great. And so if you're a business person, do you mostly work with USA companies? 90%. And what is some of the benefits, I guess, to using a service like yours as opposed to like Toptal or something like that? Yeah, there's a lot there, and then so you whittle it down to, you know, five or six candidates, and then would you have a virtual interview on Zoom or something? And are there significant cost savings to hiring from that part of the world? Yes, and I would vouch for actually there being some very talented people in that part of the world, and depending on what niche, but I've found some very good software developers in that part of the world, much better than other places that I've used in the past, which I won't mention. But what types of backgrounds, skill wise. Do you have with these people? Like, is it a lot of software developers, or is there a big range, like salespeople, and is there everything, or? Okay, yeah. You probably don't want Ukrainians closing the sales. Well, that's great, Kyle. That's awesome. So if you're a business and you've got a few staffing headaches, that might be worth having a look at what Kyle's doing. So that is, what's the it's hire-ua.com. Wonderful. So if you want to get in contact with Kyle, his deets are in the show notes as well. I'd like to thank our wonderful guest for coming on. That was a great episode. Thank you everyone for watching. I'm going to wrap things up. See you next time. Bye.